2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. This chapter and chapter 9 are both primarily about giving, but I'm not preaching on giving this morning. I want to emphasize what Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, that it's not about giving, it's about where we are in our relationship with the Lord and whether or not we've given ourselves to Him, which is what Paul is encouraging Christians to do here in this passage. So we'll look at the first five verses together, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Where Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." So I've entitled the message, "Gave Their Own Selves." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here, to open your word, to fellowship around our Savior. And Lord, may we now each just open our hearts and focus on hearing from you, that you may change us through the power of your precious word. May the Holy Spirit be in control of every life that hears this message. And Lord, I pray that we would get a hold of this great truth of being that living sacrifice for Jesus. So commit the service to you. Pray you'll be glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Paul here is using the churches at Macedonia as an example. He's writing to the church at Corinth, but he's saying, "I want to share with you what happened to those churches in Macedonia." The two cities that had churches that are in the Bible were the city of Philippi. You've all heard of the book of Philippians, and the city of Thessalonica, both of them up in northern Greece. And those cities still exist today, by the way. You can go and visit either one. But so he's referring to those churches, the Philippians and the Thessalonians. And he's saying that God bestowed upon them this extra grace to be able to give, even though they were in deep poverty. And both of those churches had suffered a lot of persecution and really struggled. And that was because they trusted the Lord. But as he says here, they first gave themselves to the Lord. And that's how they were able to step out of their comfort zone, if you will, and be so liberal in their care for others, primarily for Paul and the people traveling with Paul. And God always has the grace available. He's talking here about the grace of God there in verse 1. For all of us, when we are willing to step out and go further for the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you something. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Many Christians are just afraid to take that step of trust and saying, you know, I belong to God. I'm His. And I'm now a living sacrifice for Him. When we make that step, when we make that commitment, God is there with His grace and ready to use us to do great things for Him. But it's just so many Christians are afraid to take that step because it's a big step. Notice Ephesians 4:7, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, the Bible says He giveth more grace, right? In James chapter 4, verse 6. There's this infinite reservoir of grace, God's grace available to God's people. But God gives it out as it's needed. You know, you often hear about dying grace. People who are able to die with dignity and die praising God on their deathbed. How are they able to do that? Sometimes in intense pain. That's grace. That's God's grace. How are we able to face the trials of life? Through God's grace. You know, the Bible says we're to come boldly under the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God's grace is always there. And Paul is saying these churches in Macedonia, primarily in Philippi and Thessalonica, they relied on God's grace and God worked miracles through them. And he's going to hold them up as an example to us. So he says here in verse 2 of our passage, 2 Corinthians 8, how then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So the same God that gives out grace and measure as it's needed also allows us to go through trials of affliction. Remember that. Same God. So on the one hand, he talks about how these churches at Macedonia, God poured out his grace upon them, but it was in the midst of a great trial of affliction. An affliction that God allowed. And if you have afflictions in your life, like we talked about last week, God's allowed them. But notice it says the abundance of their joy. These Christians in Macedonia, even though they were going through intense persecution and intense poverty and intense afflictions, they still had the joy of the Lord. Now that doesn't come from the affliction, does it? It comes from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And that's how it's possible when Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice, written from prison, by the way. That's how a Christian can always rejoice, because we know God's in control. James said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." In James chapter 1, verse 2. Peter said, "Wherein you greatly rejoice." In 1 Peter 1, 6, "Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." So these Christians, they understood that our joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Is it? Our joy is dependent upon whether or not we're relying on the Lord and trusting Him through the afflictions. If we are, He's there and we can rejoice no matter what, because our joy is based on who we have as our Savior and where we're going when we die. It's not based on our earthly circumstances, which change all the time. And in the midst of this affliction, the Bible says, verse 2, and their deep poverty. So I want you to understand where these churches at Philippi and Thessalonica, these churches in Macedonia, they were poor. Probably a lot of it was because of the persecution, because of the separation that they had gone through by claiming Christ as their Savior. It wasn't just poverty, it was deep poverty. And he says, in the midst of their deep poverty, this joy abounded, what? Unto the riches of their liberality. Now, these days we hear that word and we have negative thoughts. This is not talking about their political beliefs. This is talking about their willingness to be liberal with what they had. Go to Proverbs 11 and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Solomon wrote about liberality. So don't let that word put you off. Again, it's not talking about your political system. It's talking about your willingness to be liberal with what you have. Notice Proverbs 11:24. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Isn't that fascinating? That, of course, God gave Solomon amazing wisdom, but that verse 24, he says, "There is that withholdeth more than is meet, and attendeth to poverty." And yet, it talks about the liberal soul being made fat. "And he that watereth shall be watered also himself," which Luke 6:38 says the same thing, doesn't it? "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom." And so these Christians, they understood that it isn't about what you have, it's about who you have. They had the Lord. And they were rejoicing in the Lord, and they relied on the grace of God to be liberal with what they had. They believed God's word, where he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so these trials didn't stop them from having this giving spirit. But that sprung out of their basic love for the Lord. And that's where I want to get to this morning. And so he says, verse 3, "For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Beyond their power. What does that mean? It means they said, "Lord, we want to be a blessing to Paul. We want to be a blessing to these other churches. And we're going to give more than we have." And God said, okay. And God gave them that so that they could do it. That's how God works. Everything we have comes from the Lord anyway. And so when we step out of our comfort zone and trust the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to be liberal with what I have. I want to be a blessing." God says, okay, I can do that. I have infinite resources of the universe at my disposal. Go to 1 Chronicles. I want to show you David understood this principle. 1 Chronicles 29. And look at verse, I believe it's verse 14. I wrote down the wrong reference. Yeah. "Who am I and what is my people?" 1 Chronicles 29:14. Now, this is David, and that they took an offering for the temple. God said, "David, you're not allowed to build the temple because you've been a man of war. But I'm going to let your son Solomon build the temple." But David was still alive, and so he had a part in encouraging the people to take up a big offering so they could build this temple, which required a lot of gold, a lot of brass, a lot of fancy materials. It was going to be a very expensive endeavor. And you know what happened? The people gave too much. And here's David's prayer. "Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." So, "Lord, we just gave you back some of what's already yours." Good attitude, isn't it? Down in verse 17, he says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I've willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." So these Christians in Macedonia, they had a willing heart, and that was the key. It was their willingness. It wasn't about how much they had, it was about how willing they were. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Go back to our passage here, 2 Corinthians 8. "Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." That was the key. Lord, we are willing to be a blessing to Paul. We are willing to be a blessing to these other churches that are suffering besides us. If you'll provide, we will be a blessing to them. And God provided, even though they were in deep poverty. So verse 4, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift." Paul here now specifically saying, "You were a blessing to me. Here I am. I'm out planting churches." And of course, Paul had an entourage of people that traveled with him. And he's saying that you folks sent me a gift, a love gift, a financial gift. Even though you are the ones in deep poverty, you were a blessing to me. And by the way, Paul, if you go to Philippians 4, Paul recounts this gift that he's talking about when he's writing to specifically to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 4. By the way, this gives us context to Philippians 4:19, which a lot of Christians have memorized, which says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The context of that great truth is he's writing to a church that had just sent him a love gift out of their poverty. They were trusting God. Notice verse 18. "That I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He writes to one of the churches in Macedonia and said, thank you for the gift that you gave out of your deep poverty. And he says, and because you've been so kind to make this sacrifice on my behalf and the Lord's behalf, verse 19, my God now shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it really helps bring that verse into context. That's the gift that Paul is referring to there in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 8, praying us that we would receive the gift. And so these people, the number one thing here is they were willing. They were willing to be liberal with what they had. They had the joy of the Lord, and they were willing, notice back in our passage, verse 4, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were willing of themselves to go beyond their power, as we just read there in verse 3, to be a blessing to Paul, to be a blessing to others, which is why are we here, but to minister to others. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He left us here to serve and to be a blessing to others. So now my main passage, verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. How were they able to have so much joy? How were they able to be so liberal in the midst of poverty, deep poverty? Because they were willing and they gave their own selves to the Lord. And that was the key. And I believe this is God's will for every Christian. That we say, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I have is yours. Everything I am is yours. And you can use me however you see fit. Why? What should be our motivation? Well, we love him because he first loved us. Our motivation is love. Now, we're commanded to be a sacrifice, right? Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what God's will is, that we give ourselves to him and acknowledge that he owns us. Because, you know, if you look on down in verse 9, Jesus was our example here in 2 Corinthians 8. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Then he uses the word poverty again, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You talk about poverty. How about going from the glories of heaven, ruling the universe, to living in a human body on this dirty earth? Now that's a big step from riches to poverty, isn't it? And God is saying Jesus did that for us. That he became, literally it says, he became poor. Even though he was rich, he became poor for what? For your sakes. He did it for us. And now Paul is saying, and look at these churches at Macedonia. They were the same. They're in poverty, but they wanted to be a blessing to others. And so first they gave their own selves to the Lord, which made them willing to do whatever they could, to be liberal with what they had. And Jesus Christ is our example. He gave himself for us. And so I believe every Christian, God is saying, please give yourself to me. And he can do a lot more with us when we surrender to him than we can do with ourselves until we surrender to him. But a lot of Christians, again, they're just not willing to make that leap of saying, I truly belong unto the Lord. Everything I have is his, and he can use me however he sees fit. If we'll choose to do that, the possibilities are endless, because we're talking about an endless God. So they first gave their own selves to the Lord, verse 5, and unto us by the will of God. So Paul's saying, first they gave themselves to the Lord, and because they gave themselves to the Lord, they also gave themselves to us false speaking to himself of himself and those that travel with him, they also said, Lord, or Paul, we're here to help you however we can. We just want to be a help. We want to help you plant churches. We want to be there for you. And again, that's why we're here. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. We've been given liberty from the law, liberty to serve Christ. But look what it says. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. We're here to serve one another. Paul said, I've made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22, he says, I just belong to the Lord so that I can be a blessing to others. Philippians says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. We're here for others. We're here to be a blessing to others. But God is saying, using these churches as an example, that we really can't be the blessing to others that he wants us to be until we first give ourselves to him. Wholeheartedly, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. Everything I have is yours. Take it and use it to be a blessing to others. And when we do that, God will. And he's saying, look what happened here. These churches were in deep poverty. I would say that's pretty poor. And yet in the midst of their deep poverty, they were liberal. It says they abounded there in verse 2 under the riches of their liberality. How were they able to do that? Because they were willing to say, Lord, we belong to you. They gave their own selves to the Lord. And God took them and used them to be a blessing to Paul, to be a blessing to other churches, to be a minister to others. And I believe God wants that for every believer. And so if we can learn anything from the example of these churches at Macedonia, specifically Philippi and Thessalonica, it's this. Give ourselves to God. Now, we did the day we got saved, doctrinally. We said, Lord, save me from hell. Make me your child. And he did. But we're not talking about what's doctrinally true. We're talking about our hearts. We're talking about a willingness to say, I belong to you, Lord. Therefore, I want you to run my life. I want you to take control. I want you to take everything I have and use it for your glory to be a blessing to others. Which is why you left me here. And these churches, in the midst of their deep poverty, they had learned this great truth. And they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's where it started. After that, they were filled with joy. They were willing to be liberal with what they had. They were willing to do whatever it took to be a blessing to God's people. And Paul even acknowledged one by name who carried the gift, Epaphroditus. He was given that huge responsibility to take that love, mercy, money gift and literally carry it to Paul. And say, Paul, this is an offering from the church at Philippi. They first gave themselves to the Lord. I believe God wants that from all of us. First give ourselves to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for